Welcome to Unraveling, a podcast which has been created to speak openly about the messy truths of life. I'm your host, Lauren Barber, and my intention for this podcast is to express my own real life experiences and that of my guests in a raw and authentic way. It has become a passion of mine to speak honestly and vulnerably about the ups and downs that many of us experience in this roller coaster ride of life. That means huge celebrations and earth-shattering rock bottoms. The reality is we feel and experience it all. Unraveling strips away layers of conditioning, shame, fear, and worry by opening up the conversation to talk about the subjects that are sometimes hidden away. This means you can expect total, open-hearted, truthful discussions about what it really is like to be a human being. Thank you for joining me on this beautiful, but sometimes chaotic, journey of unraveling. Now let's head to the show. Hi everyone, and welcome to the first episode in series 2 of Unraveling. I am so excited to be here. I took a break over the winter period to replenish, to fill myself back up, to re-inspire myself and prepare myself for the coming season. And now that we are officially into spring and the world around us seems to be waking up a little bit, it seems like the perfect time to come back out and start series 2 or season 2. So this first episode might feel like a bit of a, well, in some ways I think it's a bit of a strange subject to start with because it's not necessarily what everyone thinks of as a positive thing, but it also feels like the perfect thing to start this season off with. If you've listened before, or maybe this is your first episode, my real passion is about sharing the kind of messy truth of life. And that means that it's not always pretty, and it's not always rosy, and it's not always unicorns and rainbows. And today I want to talk about rock bottom. I want to talk about the lessons that rock bottom has taught me, because the past kind of 9-10 months, or the past year really, or couple of years, I have spent quite a lot of time in rock bottom. Particularly the second half of last year was very, very challenging for me, for many different reasons, but it really meant that I had to strip away a lot of the things that were not serving me anymore. And there was a lot of shifts in my life, a lot of changes, a lot of letting go, a lot of letting go of attachments. And it was really challenging, very, very tough part of my life. But from that, I have grown beyond what I ever thought I could have grown. So whilst the rock bottom was horribly uncomfortable and painful at times, it has also brought the biggest period of growth and transformation into my life. So I feel like it's something that I really want to talk about, because we often think that life has to be all perfect and everything has to be sort of swimming along really nicely, nothing too dramatic occurring. And the truth of it is that isn't really how life works. And experiencing that in reality is, it really does remind you of the nature of life, and of also how much we often resist the nature of true life, because we don't want to show the messy bits and we don't want to be in that space of things not going as well or not going to plan, should we say. So I'm going to share today 7, bit of a strange number, but you know, that was what came to me, 7 different lessons that I have learnt from experiencing rock bottom. And it may be that you too have experienced rock bottom and you might resonate with some of these lessons. It may be that you have never really experienced a rock bottom and you might almost have a fear about experiencing that rock bottom. Or maybe you are right smack bang in the middle of a rock bottom and you feel like you don't know what to do and like everything is falling apart at the moment and it's really, you know, it's a really uncomfortable place. And wherever you're at, I hope that some of what I share will give you some kind of connection or some feeling of not being alone in this process. Of course, we are all, you know, we experience our process in our own individual ways, but I do feel like sometimes just understanding and knowing that other people are going through things or have been through things and have got through the other side, I do feel like that can be really helpful and give you a lot of hope when you're in that space. So, you know that I can ramble on a lot, so I'm going to try and keep this quite concise. As usual, I don't have really, really strict structure to this conversation, but we will see where it takes us. So the first lesson. Now, experiencing rock bottom, or how do I say, in fact, actually, some of my greatest fears came to light, I guess, which was sort of the catalyst for my rock bottom. Some of the things that I have feared for a long time, and I had to face all of them. And actually, by facing those fears and experiencing them, even though at the time they were hideously uncomfortable and painful, and I would have done anything to avoid those experiences, by experiencing them and actually facing the fear, it means that that fear is not really there anymore. It's kind of taken away the, I guess, the power that that fear had, or those fears have. Because when I experienced them and realized that I could survive them and that I could get through them and that I am actually a lot stronger and more resilient than I ever imagined I could have been, it was actually a really empowering process, despite it being coming from a really shitty situation. And that's actually come through, you know, I can use that lesson in so many different things now. It's made me far more confident and feeling far more capable of facing all kinds of different fears. So if that's fears in my business, fears around speaking my truth, all of those kind of things, those fears they don't have such a hold on me anymore, because I've faced and experienced some of the things I was the most scared of, and I was okay, you know. And I think that's quite that's a really, really potent lesson, even if that's the only lesson that it brings us, is just to see our own strength, to see just what we're capable of, and then being able to transmit that into other parts of our life. So maybe not right at the time, and certainly not when you're in the midst of it, but afterwards, seeing how you got through that. And sometimes that, you know, like that process will have maybe not been the most graceful process. I know my process was certainly not the most graceful, but it was, you know, I got through it. And each time I got through it, it meant that the next time those emotions or that grief or those feelings came up, I knew that I'd experienced them before and I'd survived them. So it felt less of a hold on me. So that's number one. Number two is that this, when you're experiencing, or when I was experiencing the real low lows, like the darkest moments of being on the floor crying, being on the floor shaking, not knowing how I was going to make it through to the next day, like not knowing how or why, this was happening, it forced me to be very, very present, because at that time, when you're in that place, the only thing you can focus on is one breath at a time. And I constantly used to just say to myself, it's just this one breath I need to focus on. It's just this, you know, just this next 5 minutes that I need to, you know, get through. Just being very, very present in that moment and experiencing the feelings, letting the feelings flow through me, letting them actually, the emotions surface and bubble up. And sometimes they would explode, and sometimes they, you know, there was all sorts of kind of physical reactions, emotional outbursts, but letting, like, being very present with the feelings and actually feeling the sensations that were arising and being just with that one breath, that was really powerful. Because it's so easy to get caught up and get anxious and focus on like how our lives are going to look from now on, because they probably don't look the same way that we thought they were going to look. But actually, right now, we don't have to worry about that when you're in it. That's not a helpful place to be in. It's actually just coming back to the breath. And I think my yoga practice and meditation really helped me here, because it just reminded me to anchor myself to the breath. So it helped me, yeah. So experiencing those really low moments really helped me learn the art of presence and being with myself, which is something that I've struggled with, in all honesty, over quite a long period of time. So yeah, that was a great gift, and something that now I can still connect into, even when I'm not in those really dark moments. So that's number two. Number three is that just because something looks very messy and chaotic and it looks like it's falling apart, it doesn't mean it isn't beautiful. So seeing my process, which to the outsider could have looked completely chaotic, but seeing that as a beautiful process and seeing the messiness as being something that was really quite a gift, that was really powerful for me. And actually, it's those darkest, deepest, most, the word escapes me, but those really, really tough, challenging moments that actually real growth and transformation occurs. If you want to truly expand and to truly, truly transform and grow, then facing those parts of you that are triggered in those rock bottom moments is actually a really important part of the healing process. When we try and shy away from that and try and kind of cover it over or hide it, or not even, or just refuse to look at the messy parts of ourselves, then we're kind of dismissing a whole chunk of our truth and of who we are, and that is in itself is doing ourselves a disservice. And I feel like we then miss out on the real growth, the real transformation. And as I said at the beginning of this episode, the last, you know, the 6 months or sort of the end of last year was the messiest, most chaotic time of my life, but it was also the time of my life where I felt more connected to my truth, more connected to my purpose, and more, I felt myself grow and evolve into the person I was really proud of in more ways than I have done in the rest of my whole life. So I can only be appreciative of that those experiences for giving me that, because had I not experienced them and not faced them, I wouldn't be the person I am now. And actually, I really quite like the person I am now. I'm pretty proud of her, pretty happy with the awareness and the person that I am as in this very moment, and every part of these experiences, the real rock bottom bits, they have been a huge, huge shaper for me. So that was number three. Number four is that grieving and being sad and experiencing loss, whatever that looks like, whether it's a loss of a person, loss of a part of yourself, a loss of a picture you thought your life was going to look like. Grief is exhausting and it uses up a huge amount of energy. And for that reason, it is vital that when we're in this process, we are so, so gentle with ourselves. And I learned to rely on very nurturing practices. It's actually when I did my yoga nidra teacher training and I was practicing yoga nidra every single day, I was just in a state of deep, deep rest. My body, my nervous system, my emotions, my energy, every part of me needed to be allowed to restore and to rest and to replenish. And seeing that, seeing just how powerful that emotion, that the emotion of grief is and how much it can drain and deplete you, made me really realize just how important these nurturing, restful practices are. And it's completely changed my way of my own self-practice, really, because my self-practice used to be very much movement-based, and now it's a lot more gentle. It's a lot more restorative, and that's what I feel like we need. Whether you're going through a rock bottom or not, it really has highlighted the importance of rest to me, and that was such a revelation, because it's taken me a long time to really truly, truly see just how healing rest in itself can be. So that's number four. Number five is that when you experience, or when I experience, these very, very low points in my life, it has opened me up to being far more empathetic to other human beings, and just to see people as humans, see people for the pain that they might be carrying, see people for the strength that they have to keep continuing their daily life despite there being so many people and so many things that happen to all of us. And just seeing that I've always been quite sensitive to other people, but I think I almost blocked off other people's pain because I couldn't cope with it. I couldn't necessarily deal with it. But actually being in that space myself, I just felt cracked open to empathizing with other people that have experienced, really, really difficult times and big obstacles in their life. And I just felt actually very grateful for the experience, so that I felt that I could really, really resonate and truly, truly understand the process that other people are going through. And it just makes me stop and, instead of react, perhaps when someone does something that isn't aligned with me, it makes me question where that's coming from. And actually, instead of judging or criticizing, I can still disagree with a way that something is done, but I don't actually need to see them as a bad person. Or I can see that there it is coming from perhaps a wound or from pain or from discomfort. And that's actually been really beautiful to experience. So number six is that no matter what, and I talk about this, I think I've probably spoken about this in every single episode I recorded last year, but the most powerful, simplest self-practice, self-awareness practice that we can do is to come back to gratitude. Because even when we are in the midst of the most horrific rock bottom, there is always something to find gratitude in. And it might be the tiniest of things, but there is always, always, always something to be grateful for. And no matter what I was going through, no matter what I was feeling, every morning, every evening, I would still keep that gratitude journal by my bed. I would still record three things every single day, and I found three things every single day. Six things, in fact, because I'd always write in the morning and in the evening. And that really just anchored me, and it just helped me to shift from that victim mode of feeling like everything, the whole world was against me, to feeling like, okay, yep, this is shit, this is uncomfortable, I'm in pain, I'm feeling all the feelings, but I still have toothpaste in the bathroom, or I still have my dog that gets me out and walking every day, or I still manage to get up and wash my hair today. So whether it is the tiniest thing, or maybe it's even a stranger smiling at you, it could be just the fact that sunshine poured through your window in the morning, and just being aware, being in a state and a mindset of gratitude, even when you're in that space, it really does help, or it really helped me to work through some of those moments. So I would urge you, wherever you're at right now, that if you're not already doing a gratitude practice, then it's the one thing, it's the simplest thing we can do, and it really takes seconds to do, and it is just such a powerful, powerful tool. Okay, so that was number six. And the final lesson, although there are more, but these are the seven I'm going to talk about today. The final lesson, and this is probably the biggest lesson that I've learnt over the last year or so, is through going through the rock bottoms and the experiences that I have done, and letting go of things that I had to let go of, that needed to be let go of, I learned how to truly, truly open my heart and love again. And I didn't realize how much I had protected my heart for so long, partly because of fear, partly because of sensitivities, partly just because I kind of felt like I had to protect myself from a lot of different things. And this process of literally unraveling every piece of me just left me, it brought me back to my biggest truth, and that is the truth of my heart and the truth of love, and love being the most powerful, potent thing that we can connect to, and really the root of what I think is the main purpose in life is to love. And that's not just loving other people, that's loving yourself. In fact, it's probably more so about loving yourself, and opening up and allowing yourself to receive your own love, and just not being scared of sharing that love anymore. I feel like in this process, in this unraveling, I have learned how to truly, truly connect to the energy of love and to not be scared of it anymore. Because loving is a risk. Being in the state of love is probably the bravest thing we can do, because it can be very painful. And I'm seeing that love in all its forms has so many different layers to it. It has so many different pieces. And love is not just about, you know, big expensive gifts or big gestures or shiny, you know, red roses all, you know, being thrown around. It's not about the deep, you know, it's not always about the deep intimacy. It's not always about the kind of romantic side of things. Love is really messy. Love is painful, whether you're in it or not. It's raw. It has to be vulnerable. True love can't not be vulnerable. But it's just such a beautiful gift that I have learnt by experiencing the lowest parts of my life. And I can't be anything other than grateful for it, even though I wouldn't choose the situations and choose the things that have happened. I wouldn't choose them in that way, but they've led me to such a beautiful place. And now, yes, I feel more emotional. I feel more generally. You know, there are times where I am still on the floor crying, and it's not necessarily out of sadness. It's just out of the feeling like this strong feeling of love, or feeling such a strong surge of emotions in general, that it cracks me open. And I feel like I'm walking around with my heart kind of exposed at times, and that can feel very raw and it can feel very fragile, but I wouldn't change it now, because feeling those feelings, feeling the rawness, feeling the pain, feeling sadness and grief, in order to feel the joy and the excitement and the pleasure of love, you have to be able to feel it all. You can't just choose to feel the good stuff and block out the bad stuff. It doesn't work like that. So yeah, so by experiencing these low points, I've allowed myself to break down the walls that were protecting my heart and truly, truly love. And for that, I can't be anything other than thankful and appreciative for what it's given me. So yeah, that's my seven lessons. I know it's quite an intense episode for the first episode, but it just feels like this season is just going kind of another layer of unraveling, and it's not all going to be the shiny stuff. You know, that's what I committed to talking about when I decided to set up this podcast, is that I really want to talk about the whole human experience and the messiness and the amazingness as well. I don't think that's a word, but it can be. Just the highs and lows, the roller coaster ride, and all of it. And we can't choose the good bits without experiencing the less desirable parts. But if we can start seeing life as this one big kind of beautiful, messy, chaotic process, rather than it having to look a certain way, then perhaps we can all enjoy it a little bit more. I don't know. I'd love to hear from anyone as to whether any of what I've talked about resonates. And I'd also love to share with you a really exciting bit of news that I have. And that is that I am launching at the beginning of May, my monthly membership portal called The Wild Ride. So I'm just going to tell you a little bit about it. And if you feel called to join us, then I would love to have you over in this membership group. So we kick off at the beginning of May, and it will run every month. So if you miss May, then you can come in June or July or whenever you're listening to this episode. And you can join us each month. There's no commitment, like yearly commitment or anything. You can subscribe and either stay with us monthly or not, depending on how you're feeling. And it's a portal of tools that I have created to support people and myself on this wild ride, which is life. So there are embodiment practices, yoga nidras. Every month we will have a guest mentor come in and talk to us. Everything is online. We will be using a Facebook community to hold space for each other, and it is going to be such a beautiful adventure. I absolutely love holding space in this way, and I'm so excited to share so many of my tools, and also to bring in some of the people that have really inspired me on my journey, and to create this beautiful space, really, that we can all unravel together and support each other and hold space for each other. And yeah, so that's the wild ride. And I would love, love, love to invite anybody who feels called to find out more to head to the link that will be in the show notes to the wild ride. And the first 50 founding members will get a discounted price for life. So if you feel like it's for you, or you're just curious to find out a little bit more, then please do head over to the show notes and check it out. So I managed to keep that fairly short and sweet for me anyway. So this episode, I hope, has served you in some way. I'd urge you, just before you go into the rest of your day, just to take a nice big deep breath in through your nose and out through your mouth, and just allow the rest of your day to unfold exactly as it is supposed to. Sending you so much love, and I will look forward to speaking to you on the next episode. I am so grateful that you chose to listen to this episode of Unraveling today. If you enjoyed this conversation and want to make sure you never ever miss an episode, then please subscribe on your favourite podcast platform. You can continue this adventure over in my free Unraveling Facebook group, where like-minded souls come together to experience the messy truth of life in a safe online community. And if you want to get in touch with me, then the best place to do so is on Instagram at laurenbarber.co or through my website, www.laurenbarber.co. And if you haven't already, make sure you sign up to my emails, which also gives you access to a free library of meditations, workbooks, yoga nidra practices, and other tools of transformation. Until next time, keep trusting the beautifully chaotic process of unraveling.